The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Learner's Permit, Thursdays on my YouTube. Subscribe today.
Hey guys, I just want to say thank you to all the fans in Cleveland who came out to the shows. I had a blast in your hometown. La Jolla, I'm headed your way next week, Friday, December 17th through the 19th. Unfortunately, Austin is going to have to be rescheduled. The club will not be open in time. They just informed me, and we're looking for another date for that. For all information and all tickets, go to RyanSickler.com.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Night Pants Studios. I'm Ryan Sickler, RyanSickler.com, and Ryan Sickler on all your social medias. Social medias, whatever. You know where it's at. The Night Pants Nation Tour is out there. Austin, I'll be there January 6th through the 8th. Get all your tickets at RyanSickler.com. Join the email list. You'll be the first to know all the upcoming stuff before anybody else. And please, if you're watching on YouTube, hit the subscribe. I'm telling you, it means nothing to you and everything to all of us. It's nothing. I see half of you watching and not hitting subscribe. Just fucking flick it. And the Patreon show, look, it's taken me a long time to be able to actually say I love my job. I love my fucking job. And I can't pick which show I like to do better. All right? The Patreon is the Honeydew with y'all. And y'all have the craziest stories I've ever heard in my life. It's $5 a month. And if you sign up for a year, you get over a month free. All right? And you get the Honeydew a day early, ad-free, no additional cost. All right? If you or someone you know has that story, submit it to honeydewpodcast@gmail.com. Hopefully we get to do an episode together, all right? You know what we do over here. We highlight the lowlights. I like to find a little bit of light in the darkness. And today's guest here, first time on the Honeydew, very excited to have him. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Ryan Long. Welcome to the Honeydew, Ryan.
We got a couple Ryans rocking out
couple
here
Ryans,
in L.A.
Yeah. I appreciate you being here.
You kind of look like a little... Like you could be, we could be in the same family too. You look like my brother a little.
Do I?
Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, like Reynolds. There's a lot of Ryans and they all kind of got the same look around here.
You got the eyes. We have the eyes.
Yeah, I you got like, the same eyes. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, welcome. Thank you for doing the show. I've never even met you before.
Yeah,
so
the
I was
first
stoked.
Time.
Yeah, I've asked around. A lot of people volunteered information about you being a good dude. So I was like, all right, let's have fun. So,
dude, that's one thing I found about America when I came here. People were cool, man. It's that's one thing that's better about America than where I'm from, Toronto, because it's smaller. Everyone here is very much more like down to help out, and they want to, you know, people see people that they think is cool, and they go, oh, I want to like work with that guy, connect with that. Whereas where I'm from, it's more like, who's this guy trying to show up and steal stuff?
I don't feel like it's always been like that, but you're right. Lately, especially, like, there's
since
a lot
everyone
of
left the industry.
Yeah, I mean, people are really reaching down and pulling each other up and pushing people in the, like, you know, look, if you've been in the game long enough and you're out for something and you know damn well it's not right for you, why not? You're like, you know who'd be great for that? This person. You don't need to be in everything. Sometimes you're in everything at the detriment of your shit. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I like to just produce stuff. Like, I'm not right for that.
Yeah.
But I got the right mindset for that. I just don't think I'd be good in that.
I know. It's a huge tweak I feel like you can make in your own self when you see something good or someone doing something good and it kind of jazzes you up as opposed to makes you mad. I feel like that little tweak.
Fuck yeah, that magic is back. Like you see that person's getting it. Yeah,
you get, oh, hell yeah. Yeah. You know?
All right. Well, before I get to know you a little better here, please plug, promote everything, anything you'd like.
Yeah, man, I do a podcast called The Boys Cast with Ryan Long every Friday and patreon.com/theboyscast, youtube.com/RyanLongComedy. I do a video sketch every Monday and then a street interview every Wednesday. And I got two specials, comedy specials out there and one coming out in mid-January too. So check it out.
Tell me about the street interviews. What is that all about?
So I came, I was like when I was like 12 even. I was the biggest like Tom Green guy. So I feel like me and everyone we
were Canadian.
Kind of,
yeah.
We were all
yeah.
doing an impression of Tom at the time, right? But I did I had this I used to do all these DVDs. I was in this band and we did all these DVDs messing with people even before when you couldn't put them on the internet, straight up just cutting them to show your friends and stuff like that. And I was doing all sorts of that stuff. I did a few TV shows doing that kind of stuff in Canada, messing around with people on them. When I moved here, that was the first thing I was like, you know what? I don't really know anyone. I don't have a crew anymore. I was like, that's the one thing I could do super easy. So I just started kind of doing the stuff I've been doing in Canada on my YouTube channel here. And a lot of stuff was going viral and stuff.
So yeah. Go back to the beginning. You're from Canada. Where? Toronto?
I'm from Ajax, right outside of Toronto, which is Sum 41. Snow went to my high school.
The rapper?
Informer. I got a good Snow story, by the way.
Please. My buddy and I used to still at 12 inches. What is it? 12 inches of snow and rising, isn't
yeah,
it? It is, right?
He had some stuff that didn't age well either. Legal, tender, and fine.
I don't know. I only know that
oh,
one
you know this
song.
One? He goes, legal, tender, and fine. And the idea is like she turned 18 yesterday.
Oh, my God. I remember the one video Informer on MTV
Informer
down here,
was big.
And we used to be like, "Who the fuck is this?"
Yeah,
guy?
Yeah. He went to Pickering High for a second, but so he was my friend Danny Polshuk, who I do all this stuff with. He's on my podcast and stuff, and we did. He made a movie that I kind of helped write on, and I was in it a little bit, but it's his thing, and they wanted to put Snow the Rapper in it because he was on this TV show they did, blah blah, right? So. The premise was they had this character and they're like, Snow would be hilarious for it. And the bit was one of the tiny things he did was Snow talks to the cops in one of the scenes. And he goes, listen, I want to do this, but I can't do any role where I would talk to the cops because I would never inform, even in a movie. And he's like, my boys, like, that's what it is. That's my brand, that I don't talk to the cops. And they're like, yeah, I think they'll get that it's like a character.
Ah! He was so goes, worried.
Dude, he doesn't even inform. And like, even
like even his acting like,
yeah, like his friends are gonna be like, hey, what's this? We hear about you talking to the cops? And he goes, it's a movie. They go, we don't, you know, he couldn't talk to the cops.
He stayed true all the way, man.
This is 25 years ago this song came out.
12 inches of snow.
Yeah, he's going to start getting booed at his shows now. Like, shit. This is how he's living, right?
But the fact that you have to say Snow the Rapper, when you have to throw the rapper on, like, Chance is different. Yeah. This guy was called the Rapper at first because nobody knew who the fuck that guy was.
Yeah.
Who was, what's Snow? What are you talking about? The Rapper.
I guess the reggae guy, really. He just started doing a reggae accent and then popped off.
Man. So, all right. Yeah. Ajax outside of Toronto.
A little suburb. I was a little skateboard forming band, okay. Standard kind of, you know.
What were your parents like? What did they do for a living?
So my dad, they owned some music stores. And then, my grandfather does. And then my dad.
That's what we're in right now. He was Santa there, Monica yeah. Music Center. This kind of music store?
Yeah, so it's a
or
music
like
family.
Record store.
No, like instruments.
Yeah.
So him and like my family's all very musical. Me and a lot of the cousins aren't involved. Things fall apart at the third generation usually, you know. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Well, it's because
it is that generation.
It is. Every company like that. Well, but the first, like, if your dad starts something and he wants you to take it over, you're kind of like, I could make this my thing. If it was already someone else already did that, you can't really make it your thing. So all you can do is if people want third generation to sort of get involved in the thing, I feel like these days, you really just have to make them a piece of shit where you go, you know what, we'll just give you way too much money for this. So no one really wanted to do that. No one wants to do it. So none of us are really that involved. But that's that. And then my mom grew up in the projects, the hood. Yeah.
What's the projects?
Like Ontario housing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wild family. My mom's like just Irish fucking trash, right? Dude.
Are you close with your mom?
Yeah, she's the best, dude.
All right, okay.
Dude, my
sure.
mom, she's like, she it comes out every now and then where something will happen and she's like very nice lady and tells something like, she gets like, what the fuck you want to come at me? And we're like, what is this? And we go, all right, that's the hood. But like, this is the kind of way she grew up. Like her two brothers both died of like heroin and, you know, in and out of pretty wild stuff, right? The one would kind of go to my grandmother's house, like steal everything. Like all the classic mm-hmm. problems, but you know, and then have, you know, her other two brothers, they have their life together and they have jobs and the other two are dead now. And that's kind of what it was, right?
Did you ever meet them or are they gone?
Yeah,
before?
Yeah, yeah.
You did.
One had my one uncle that he died first. He had a skullet, like straight up. Like he kind of looked like me, like for real. He kind of looked like me.
But bald up here and just
bald.
All hair.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like Ben Franklin.
Proper too. He wasn't messing around where it's like a little bit. This is cultivated. He'd have a hat on, the hat come off, everyone go, oh wow. Woo. he was a wild man.
Did you ever, how old was he when you passed?
I think probably 4 years ago. And then
wow, that's
I got
that
a joke
ago.
I this is a joke. I won't tell the joke version, but it is real. So My uncle, he died, right? My grandmother was like kind of getting dementia. So when he died, it was very like, do we tell her? Do you tell her that her son's dead? And my mom was kind of, her idea was, you know what? She's not really all there. She might die soon. Let's not. So we didn't tell her. Then she kind of started getting better. Like she.
Oh, no.
For real.
What's his name?
Mike.
She's like, where's Mike?
That's
Mike's not
for
coming.
Real. And she, but my mom was set
terrible.
On it.
That is terrible.
Dude, my mom was set on it too. Because there was some disagreement on,
I'm sure, yeah.
on whether
yeah.
or not, you know.
All right, she's getting better. We got to say something. We ain't saying shit. Your mom's like, anybody says shit, you shut the fuck up.
That's
oh, there's
what
the
happened.
Hood again.
She's yeah. very like, you, I wish a motherfucker would cross me.
We can dig two holes, motherfucker. We can dig two holes.
Yeah, you want to join them? If you have... That's what she's like.
She goes, you want to fucking... terrible. So what happens?
So, well, it's the story ended positively because she's dead too. So it worked itself out. My mom was right.
Your mom's in there with a pillow. Like, oh, God, I can't end this tonight.
Yeah, I think she was right. But it went on for two or 3 years.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know.
Where there was family things. And she's still like, she'd pop back in sometimes and be like, he never visits me anymore. And I would, this is a joke, but I would be like, we'd have to be like, that piece of shit.
Yeah, right.
He's dead to us.
Yeah, he's dead to us. Now, what about your other uncle?
He died probably 10 years ago.
And do you remember him as well?
Yeah, it was kind of a wild thing where for real
made my face twitch, bro.
Dude, it was one of those things where I don't know if you have this as much here, but like, you know, he would people in the family would legitimately run into this guy and he'd be begging for change outside of a like beer store or whatever, and you'd see him. My brother, I remember he was on a date with some chick he started dating. He's going to get beer and it's like, Uncle Ray, like, you know, they see each other and it's Evan, what? Oh. And you're just like, and it's one of those things where, you know, it's anyone who's been in that situation, like obviously the instinct is like, well, you have money, give him money. But he's like, doesn't work like that. You give him money and the money's gone. And then they're this a week later, you know? So it's a weird situation. And you like, oh, you come stay with us for a bit. And it's like, you know, then they're gone and your stuff's gone. It's a situation.
That's got to be trippy to see your own relative in the streets begging for money.
It's tough, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's mostly toughest for her. And I think a lot of people in the family also have the, you know, some anger, like especially my other uncles, you know, I don't know how you are like with the relationship exactly with your mom, but imagine you had a brother that came and like, she's like, she don't have that much money. She's on like a pension or whatever. And then your brother comes and like steals her last little bit of money. Like they're some of them is a little like he ever shows his face around here. He better fucking stay on the streets, if he, you know? So it's a lot of, it's a tense situation kind of all around and no one knows what to do about it. There isn't a good answer to those things when people are addicted to crack, you know?
So your mom had four brothers?
Yeah.
And her? Or their sisters too?
Yeah, four brothers, no sisters.
And so she still has two that are alive still.
Yeah.
They all get along?
Everyone that's alive still gets along.
I mean, I get it, man. Your mom does come from, it sounds like a hard upbringing. Look, I'm guilty of this myself. Like, I have to learn a little bit more patience, I think, because I forget not everybody grew up the way I grew up. And my tolerance for bullshit is zero.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But this person over here, but I'm running it through my filter.
Yeah.
This person, that my dumb thing that I think is dumb, it might be wrecking them. And I'm over there like, what the fuck's the big deal? You know what I mean? Because I got to learn to be probably a little more sensitive, but I can't help it. It's just, you know, I feel like I'll always have my shoulders up.
I think that's like one of those things that helps you for everything.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food. And before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Where you go, just remember, not only do people see the same world as you, but like even on top of that, be like, remember that not everyone wants the same shit as you. Like, how many times have you, you know, you're like in entertainment, you're doing well. Like, how many times in your life have you been working with someone where you're like, yo, what, like, what the, and like, they don't want to take over the world the same way you might. Right. Like, so you keep putting your shit on them. There's like, why doesn't this guy want to work 16 hours a day? It's like, cause they don't care about this that much. Like, there are some people's goals might be, all right, I just want to like have, you know, make a decent living, have my family, like watch TV, have a free time. And like, that might be actually the smarter of the two. Like, your way might actually be
ridiculous. I say all the time, I just want to go cut the fucking grass.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Like, people ask me on the road, like, it's so cool what you do. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, I don't know. What are you doing this weekend? I don't know. Sunday, I'm just going to cut the grass. I'm like, a riding mower? And like, yeah. I'm like, you know how much I'd love to just fucking cut the grass?
Just chill.
Just cut the grass. Just have a beer. Out. Throw some music
on.
Throw
some tunes on. Beater?
And just fucking
smoke
cut the
cig?
Grass.
You don't
like
even
it's
smoke?
A ride. Yeah, I don't even. I just start smoking.
Start smoking for the mow.
In my 40s.
Dip and chew and smoking? Just to fucking get the full experience?
I would love to. Yeah, grass is always greener.
Why not?
That's what they say. But you know, I read a quote recently. It said, the grass is always greener where you water it. Not the other side. Where you fucking water it.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, so that's your mom. Tell me about your dad.
Yeah, pretty. My dad's a good dad. He's like we were big. I was very much, you know.
I'm sorry. Is his family the music store?
Yeah, they got the music stores. Almost everyone's musical. Like, my grandma and my grandfather started this little jazz band, and they're in like the Music Hall of Fame and stuff like
that.
No
shit.
Yeah, Jack Long Trio, and my grandmother plays. So like at my family gatherings, they get the band. They legitimately have a music setup. Where the gatherings are, and everyone plays music, and they do. My grandmother plays piano, my grandpa plays trumpet, and they get the band back together, and everyone goes up and sings. And people are very talented in that family. Like my cousin, just Emily Long. She just did the top musician in Canada under 20 or something like that.
Damn. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Like all this stuff, and there's a lot of very talented people in that family. Yeah.
What do you play instruments?
So I was probably, which is the funny part, I don't think I'm the most talented, but I was probably the most successful musician in the family. Because when I was a kid, I started this band called the Johnstones. And then by the time I was like in first year of college,
Wait, how old were you when you started the band then?
Wow.
You know, high school,
13,
16?
14.
That
yeah.
early, okay.
Yeah, then, then they all, you know, you're in a, when you're a band kid, you're just in a bunch of bands and then one kind of sticks.
Mm-hmm.
So we had this one band that stuck. We were kind of doing well by grade 12. By like first year of college, we were like on MTV and we had a bunch of hits on the countdown, and we were selling tickets and doing all this stuff. So I feel like a lot of the things that I know now, I like learned from a ton of the mistakes that I made like the first round. The first round's rough. Like when you see people hitting the first round at 35 and you go, you could have used a round at 20.
Yeah, I could have used all kinds of rounds earlier on.
there's so much stuff that is happening now that I've been through this already. I know who to listen to. I know when to listen to myself. I know when you're just, I know when you're being successful because you're good, and I know what part of it's are successful because you're on a wave and how to distinguish the two. Like, there's so many people that are part of a wave and they're, and you like, I'm great. And it's like, you're right place, right time. But sometimes you are great. And I think knowing when those are, you know, you can make the right decisions, right?
So were your parents, what did your dad do for a living? He worked at the store, all
they
store.
Did the stores, yeah.
So how'd your parents meet?
My dad was playing in a band, and he's playing bass when he was young, when he was like, you know, 24 or whatever. And he said, hey, baby from the projects, you know. My mom's cute. She's, you know, big tits, the whole package. but they're divorced. They were, I would say... Probably they're a terrible pair. Like when you look back and you go, how did you guys stay together ever?
How old were you when they split?
Maybe like 12, 13. Yeah.
So right around the time you formed the band.
Yeah. When I was like, I would think my brothers, my one brother, he has a little energy of it was kind of hard. Whereas me, I'm like, I don't think I even noticed. I remember my mom when she told me, she goes, listen, like me and your dad are getting like divorced, and just want you to know we don't love you any less. And I remember being like, yeah, I mean, why would you love me less? Like, what? Like, what? First of all, like, I could not care less. I'm like, can I go skateboard now? Like, I don't care. You go logistically, you're just like, is this going to be like a big pain in the ass for me? But it wasn't. They moved a few miles apart. We didn't have to go to different schools. It really, changed. The only thing that happened was, because I was kind of like a getting kicked out of school kid and stuff like that. The only thing now is that it's easier to get away with everything. But the nightmare, my horror, is that you got to do everything twice. Like now, especially, like I, you know, if I go back to Canada, I got to do two things. If you start dating a girl, they got divorced parents, it's like, a lot of parents in the mix these days with all these divorces.
Going to see all these fucking people.
Yeah, it's, they live
not,
far.
It's not vacation. It's visiting. There's a big difference.
It's too much. There's too much of that right now. So that's the pain in the ass that came with it.
So your mom and dad, they split. Who do you live with then, mom?
Live with pretty even, but mom. Okay. But like 70-30.
Okay.
Yeah, because they live not that far away.
And did mom remarry or dad remarry?
Yeah, mom remarried Brian. And my dad's married Helen. Yeah, yeah.
Do you, you got a Ryan. And
do you know what's funny? So, Brian. No, he's Brian. Yeah, no, yeah, yeah. Saying, Ryan and Brian. Yeah. He's like the ultimate stepdad. Like you can picture
a good dude.
Yeah, picture a stepdad, make zero changes. That's him. He works in hydro. Dude, he's the man. Like pure stepdad energy though.
And did you take to him right away?
Rocking a Mo-Dry? I wasn't around, right? So it's like, like, I was gone when that happens. Like, this is when I'm in, you know, college.
Oh, was that late?
So it was not, almost like none of my business. Yeah. So me and him, he's like a friend.
What would you do if you didn't have high interest loans or credit card debt? With Upstart, you can pay off your existing debt quickly and easily and start living your life. Upstart is the fast and easy way to pay off your debt with a personal loan all online. Whether it's paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses, over a million people have used Upstart to get one fixed monthly payment with a clear payoff date. So rather than looking at credit score alone, Upstart considers other factors like your income, your current employment, and your credit history to find you a smarter rate for your loan. And you can check your rate without impacting your credit score in minutes for loans between $1,000 all the way up to $50,000. And you can even receive funds as fast as one business day after accepting your loan. Find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/honeydew. That's upstart.com/honeydew. Don't forget to use my URL to let them know I sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, your income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. upstart.com/honeydew. Between small talk at the company holiday party and enjoying all the holiday treats, your mouth does a lot this time of year. Gift it better oral care with Quip, makers of the award-winning electric toothbrush. And when you save up to 40% on holiday bundles, it's also a gift to your wallet. The Quip electric toothbrush is loved by over 7 million mouths and has time sonic vibrations with 30-second pulses to guide a dentist-recommended 2-minute clean, a lightweight and sleek design with no wires or bulky charger to weigh you down, a multi-use travel cover that doubles as a mirror mount for less clutter, reusable handles in a range of sleek metal hues, including best-selling all-black and all-pink, as well as bright plastic colors, sure to add a pop to your bathroom counter. In addition to brush heads, Quip also delivers fresh floss, toothpaste, mouthwash, and gum refills every 3 months from $5. Shipping is free, so you can save money and skip the hustle and bustle of shopping in-store during the holidays and into the new year. Even more good news, Quip is running their best deals of the year, which means you won't be paying through the teeth when you gift better oral health care this year. If you go to getquip.com/honeydew right now, on top of their holiday savings, you'll get your first refill free. That's your first refill free and up to 40% off of bundles at getquip.com/honeydew. That's spelled GETQUIP.com/honeydew. Quip. The Good Habits Company. Talkspace makes it possible to speak with a licensed therapist right from your phone, tablet, or computer. And unlike traditional therapy, you can message your therapist anytime via text, video, or voice. It's 100% secure and stigma-free the way therapy should be. You know I believe in therapy. This is a mental health show, and I believe everybody has something they could talk to somebody about, especially guys. That whole, like, it's not macho, whatever. Get over that. That's old news, man. So whether you struggle with anxiety, depression, self-doubt, or anything else, Talkspace gives you access to the help you need to move forward. Facing those obstacles isn't easy, and you don't win a prize for doing it alone. Getting professional help isn't weird or weak. It's smart because, sure, your friend might know a thing or two about electricity. You gonna let them rewire your house? Now, join Talkspace today and start moving forward with a single message. Just visit Talkspace.com and get $100 off your first month when you use promo code HoneyDew at sign up. That's $100 off at Talkspace.com, promo code HoneyDew. Now, let's get back to the Dew.
But my dad, he got remarried, which I think I told this story before, but he got married at the Toronto Maple Leafs game.
No. In the middle of a game?
Trash.
You can do that?
Yeah.
So he actually not proposed.
No, at the beginning. And everyone wore hockey jerseys at the game. Trash, right? That's how much they like hockey. He got his wife on board, right? So, isn't that fun? But listen, they got married at the
middle of a game.
Yeah.
And not like an empty arena you rent out and go. Like a game is happening.
The game, it's right before the game, you have an area. And it's kind of like a box, I guess. So that's the thing. I was making fun of him a lot. And we're all like, this is such trash. Your next wedding is going to be at NASCAR. And his attitude was like, trash? You know how much this box costs? Like, what are you, crazy?
Yeah,
this
you're
is
nuts.
He was like, trash? What are you, out of your mind? White trash can't afford this. Like,
white trash can't afford to look like white trash.
That's his fucking, his thing was like, what are you, out of your fucking mind?
It's about the dollar sign for him.
Yeah. He was impressed that he was pulled this off. Yeah. He was like,
shut the fuck up. Where's the mascot? He goes, where's the goddamn mascot?
Put your hand up if you think this is too poor for you, and you can leave. Watch the free fucking hockey game. What other weddings do you get to watch a Leafs game? A Leafs sell out every game. This is a big, important team. So he loves the hockey, right? But they did. I actually officiated my mom's.
No.
I hosted it.
To Brian, you MC'd it. You hosted it.
And this is when I first started doing comedy too. I was going pretty wild.
What was that like?
I'll tell you a funny one. So my brother's gay, and he comes up and he goes, you know, my stepsister is so happy to have her in her family because normally we're just surrounded by guys. And then I went up and I'm like, first time he's complaining about being surrounded by guys. Like, I'm saying shit like this. And people in the family are like, probably this was a bad idea having Ryan do this. So I'm officiating the wedding. Now,
how many people are there?
I don't know, 200.
God, that's a lot.
I'll tell you, back to the uncle, this is the kind of the guy the uncle is. He was there and he wore a do-rag. You know the white guy do-rag?
Yeah.
He's got the white guy do-rag. He's like the meme, and then, you know, smokes in the pocket, the whole thing. And then we had to drive him back to where he was staying that night. And
he like that heroin skinny though?
Oh, pure heroin skinny. And then when we're leaving, he goes to the open bar and he's trying to take five like cans to go. He's trying to take a bunch of lights to go, right? And then and my mom's like, all right, this is gonna wrap it up, buddy. He's not messing around, right? When you get that free alcohol kicking. But yeah, so I officiated that wedding, then there was the hockey game wedding. And then, but again, these people weren't really in my life because I was, I was pretty independent. It was like I was doing my own thing since I was young, right? And then I went to college, you know, moved to Toronto. They, you know, met new people, liked both of them. No, you know.
So you're basically coming home to meet their new partners.
I would come home to meet new partners. Partners are cool. Right. No problems.
Right. You're not being disciplined and growing up under the same roof with these people. Right.
That's exactly what it was. Right. Like, I'm sure there'd be millions of problems because I was a troublemaking kid, right? But they didn't have to deal with any of that. I was living my life in Toronto, you know?
Why are you getting thrown out of school? Like, what kind of stuff are you doing to get thrown out?
I was just like that kid, you know?
Smart ass, loud mouth, or were you pulling off shit?
I was a bit of a prankster.
Like what?
To be honest.
What's your best prank? And the one that actually got you kicked out?
I'll tell you my best prank. So this is when I was probably grade 9. So we had, we pulled this one on a couple people, but there's a French teacher. So in Canada, you got to take French. Kind of like how you take Spanish here. We have to have.
I mean, they don't. Yeah, but you have to. You know? Yeah, so right.
It doesn't help. I took it for 12 years. I can't speak. Dude, I can barely speak. I can say, je ne parle pas français bien. That's it. I don't speak. You take it every year. It doesn't help. So we used to do, we pulled this multiple times, but the one was Miss Waldman that we did it to multiple times. They would put movies in, and one of the big French ones, it goes, tell le français, You ever heard that? Mm-hmm. Okay. So they would put those movies in and we would replace her VHSs with porn.
Nah.
Yeah. So she,
in high school, you got away with
it was
that?
Grade nine. Yeah. Well, I didn't get away with
oh,
it.
Oh, okay.
I didn't get away with it.
Well, you got away with doing it.
Yeah. That was probably one of our best pranks is replacing all the VHSs with porn.
And what happens when it hits? Does she
they
just
put it
shit
on,
herself?
And it goes, you know, old school porn. And then we go, oh, what the, Ms. Bowman, you pervert. What the? Why are you showing this to us?
Why are you showing this to us? Oh,
terrible.
That poor lady.
she went to the insane asylum.
Nuh-uh. So you guys drove that poor lady crazy?
Yeah, we drove that poor lady crazy, which I do feel somewhat bad about now, but she was a bad woman too. She smoked.
Was she running over there to try to stop the tape and shit, just panicking, or was she just yelling, who did this, who
panicking.
Did this?
Panicking. But no one ratted on us for that, so they weren't able to pin it on us. Oh, that one we got away with. But the bet, even, now that I forgot about this part, but, so she's gone for, I don't know if it was directly related to that. At some point, she leaves for 3 days, which we later find out she's in the insane asylum. She goes away for 3 days. And the teacher comes, the supply teacher comes back, and I decide that I'm going to pretend that I'm a retarded kid. So that's my thing. I go, I'm going to, like, I have this whole, I don't know if it's fun to do this bit now. But, you know, I wore my pants all weird. I talked funny. And then I was doing this whole thing, like, oh, you know. And then the teacher's back the next day. Then she's back the next day.
And now there's nothing wrong with you.
And then day four, she's like, yeah, yeah, I'm going to be here for the rest of the semester. And I'm like, so I got to slowly.
Next day, your pants are on, right?
Yeah. I'm like, well, I can't do this act for another 2 months.
That's what you get.
I gotta slowly transition out of my character. I'm like, I don't know what it is about your teaching, but I'm back to normal.
I don't know what you said, but man.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm like, slowly transition back into a normal person.
Oh, God.
Yeah, she never came back. But no, you know what? It's kind of funny because, you know, you were talking, you do comedy and it's funny, like a lot of the stuff you used to get in trouble for, you do for a living. But I legitimately, that's what we were doing. Making videos, causing trouble. We used to go to, you know, break into places and film it and do all this shit and all the stuff that was everyone yelling at you, like, you're, you know, your life's going to be a mess if you don't stop. That's the stuff that, you know, eventually, and now I make a good living doing.
Yeah. Good for
it's
you.
Kind of funny.
Dude.
Yeah. Eventually that led to like the TV shows, all that stuff. And it was some of that pranks. I think back and I'm like, we were doing some pretty funny ones when we were a kid.
Tell me, do your mom and dad get along?
They don't. They're fine now.
Yeah.
But for a while, my mom, it would be very like, like passive aggressive. Like, you go to your dad's, like, you know, I guess he'll probably be doing the way that he is. Like, it's all that kind of energy.
But have they ever been to a show at the same time to see you do stand up?
Yeah, they just play it cool. But it's very, oh, how's it going? I don't think they have much. They don't talk about much, especially now that the kids aren't kids, you know?
Yeah, it's a good
My brother's a lot younger, but now that there's nothing to talk about, I think it's just, you know what it is. I get some point, if the kids are gone, that's someone that you dated 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, there's just nothing, right? It's, you know, you're not going to be friends, you know? It'd be insane. You're the couples that they're friends with their ex and the ex's new husbands.
And they vacation together and shit.
A little strange.
It is.
A little strange.
I'm not down.
It's a weird life.
Go do your own thing, man.
Yeah.
Don't even send pictures. I don't give a fuck. I don't care.
Yeah. There's more. I think there's more people that you could be friends with in the world. It just had to be them. Yeah.
So there was a story you said that, I don't want to give away where you end up living, but.
Yeah. So I remember when I went to, college, this is kind of like, the thing is, I always did kind of good in school. So it was one of those things where they're like, hey, you know, you're going to, life's going to be bad if you don't get it together.
Listen,
and you're
for a special needs kid.
Yeah.
you are killing these grades.
Yeah. So you'd kind of be like, I mean, I won't though. I'll be, you know, you're a kid, you're cocky. They're like, you're going to, you know, your life's going to be messy. You're like, it won't though. I'll be fine. I'd say it wasn't until 25 when I first was like, oh yeah, I can go bad. But I remember, so when I went to college in the first like 2 weeks, I got kicked out of residence and then.
For what?
So basically all the stuff. So And I met, one of the big things was I was throwing parties on the roof. Then we got in like a big fight and went through the window. Then we broke in the library one night, and then we were like partying. We threw a party there, and we like brought chicks back to like the library. And then just a lot of that stuff, like a lot of just then like all of the little notifications you get, like the red when you know you have three, all that stuff. But the, you know, the big things was breaking all the stuff. You know, the party on the roof was a big one. And then I got kicked out of my res. Then I got kicked, or I got kicked out of all the other ones. Then I got kicked out of mine. And I remember like, I lived in my car for a bit. So I go, but it was funny.
Why not with your parents? Did you not want to be a burden?
They're 2 hours away.
Oh, it was two hours away.
Hours away. So, and also my mom at this point, when she calls me, she was like, you know, I'm so glad that you're university now and you like got your act together and things are going. And I'm like, I just got like kicked out like a day ago. So I'm like, you know, I'm just not going to tell them. So then I never told them. And which is even funny because both my brothers also got kicked out. And like at family things, they all kind of be like, yeah, at least I didn't get kicked out of res. And they're just like, watch it. Like, well, you're pushing it, Ryan, because they just still don't know.
Yeah.
But so I'm... Eventually, I would have like, you know, a chick or two that I could stay at their place, but it was fun for like a day. It was kind of like, oh, I'm living in my car, this is wild, whatever, right? And then this girl, she was kind of like, okay, you can stay here for a couple of days, but I had to sneak in because you basically have to, it's a whole procedure. You got to have like a watch out, man. And you get, and so I would go into her thing, and then someone saw me. So the res come with the police and they knock on the door. And they were like, hey, you're like harboring Ryan Long, essentially. And I go in the closet. And the girl, they start being like, she's like, he's not here. And they go, listen, like, you're going to get kicked out too if you don't tell on him, blah, blah. And then she just like looks at me and starts crying. And I just walk out. I come at you with like the, what took you so long, you know? So these guys...
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
They take me to the police station. Then they're like, all right, you're
what are the charges just for all the shit you've been doing? Okay.
So they're like, you're only allowed. And I did a few like nights there in jail like already. So, and it was like, they're like, now you're banned from the res except for times you have classes. That's the whole thing. And it's like a big trespass.
So you're only allowed on the property to attend your class.
That's where it got to. Yeah. And we're talking a month into school too. This is pretty early.
It's interesting that they don't just say fuck off and throw you all the way out.
I guess the res and the school are different things.
Okay.
Right. So, and yeah, at this point I'm not going to any classes. I'm not doing anything, but school first year is pretty easy, you know. But I did get kicked out. So I was in economics and I was showing up to this one class drunk, but like not because I was a mess, like because I thought it was funny. And then eventually they're like, okay, you can do the exams, but you can't come to this class anymore. So it's kind of all this stuff. But at the same time, like at the time, I thought, like, I'm a legend. Like, I didn't think,
yeah,
like. You don't think it's, but then, so eventually, then it was started being winter. So I was sleeping in my car. I had this like spot. And then eventually it was like too cold. So I didn't have money and I didn't want to tell my parents. I didn't have a job. So I'm like, I was just trying to find girls I could sleep at their place and stuff like that. But every, you know, this stuff kept happening. And then I was sleeping in the car, found this one spot. And then the res security came out to that area and they're like, hey, you can't sleep here either. And then my car wouldn't start. So I'm on the, I'm like in the res, like parking lot, the back one, like under a blanket, 3 a.m. Security comes with the police. They're like, well, you can't be here. And I, they're like, we'll try to find like a booth. So I'm standing there like in the fucking, it's like at this point, it's like December and I'm there with like the police trying to boost my car. So like, and then I finally like 4 a.m. go find like a ditch in a parking lot and like sleep there. And I was like, all right, I think this is where we gotta, we gotta figure
remember
this thing
when you
out.
Didn't think it could go bad.
You're just like, yeah, you go.
Now you're laying in a ditch wondering how it could go right.
Yeah. And no one's watching. No, no one thinks this is sick.
Yeah.
No one thinks this is fun. Like, I guess I could tell people, like, that, you know, oh, I'm, and everyone's just like, dude, like, yeah, I think it started to be way more like, dude, get your shit together. So then I went to Hamilton, which is kind of like an hour away, and stayed with my like buddy's res for the rest of the year, and then scraped some money together to get like a little place in a room and a room like in like a house with like 9 other people off campus. But that was the living in the car. There was like a week and a half where I was legitimately like winter. Just you drive around
Canada winter,
yeah. Driving around, everything I own dirty in a back of a
what kind of car
Caprice Classic, old cop car.
Yeah,
no windshield wipers. So I would drive with, I'd take a hockey stick and I had a towel on it, so
and reach out the window. Yeah,
that's how I would drive with the
that is so fucking dangerous.
Windshield wipers. No, I had no cash at this point. Eventually, I've cashed in my meal plan. So you have a meal plan. I cashed in my meal plan, and that got me like $2,000. That's for the whole thing. So I was like, we're rich now. But yeah, so I would drive around in the Caprice Classic, all my gear there. And then eventually, it was like, all right, this is, we've reached the tipping point. But then eventually, then the band started kind of popping off. And then I was in school while I was like touring with the band and stuff, whatever, finished the degree. But that was, I think that was the most like, all right, we got to pull this together a little bit.
What stopped the band?
I think that, I mean, you looking back now, I think you can look at any moment in time and be kind of like, you know, at the time you think it's one thing, but kind of looking back, you know what actually happened. I mean, looking back, if you look at any scene, and if I look at every band that was part of that like scene that were all popular, it's over now for everyone. I kind of think of, like, it was kind of like a punk band and we were, you know, part of a movement. We were one of those guys. I think even whenever you look at music and even comedy, it's like, it's those guys in that scene. Like there's this pocket, there's all these rappers that come from this area or Atlanta or all these bands that came from Seattle, right? So we were kind of part of this movement, I guess, that is over. Like kind of the same thing with even take a band like Limp Bizkit or something, right? Like they're still big, you know, people still know who they are. No one's listening to the new song. It's over. You know what I mean? The moment's over. Unless you become kind of like a industry popular band, but our movement was over. And I think at the time I maybe saw it quicker than other people. And I was making these DVDs with the bands and I was probably spending more time on that. Like everywhere we went, I was just filming all this trouble and we were releasing all these DVDs with the band. And it was kind of getting as much popularity as the songs at some point. So then I started doing this like weird live show that I was streaming with all the sketches and all that stuff. And then that led to this weird little cable access show that we were doing. That we had a few sponsors and I was making a bit of cash on. And I was doing this little cable access show out of our, you know, house with a bunch of dudes. And that was just that's all I cared about. So at the same time, the music industry was dying. Our scene was over. Music's a young man's game. I was 25 at this point. You know, it's that touring in a van and traveling and partying. That's a young man's game. And I think that even being on the pulse is a young man's game. So right now I a little bit always try to look at people older than me for skill and the people younger than me for energy, you know, like even the,
that's well said.
Yeah. Even the troublemaking stuff. Like I watch these young guys and I'm like, I couldn't do that anymore because I don't have the recklessness. I don't have the fearlessness, but I also don't have to only get kicked out of places because I have more tricks in my toolkit, you know?
Right.
So I think that At the same time that I was, you know, becoming obsessed with making videos, that's all I cared about. The music thing was kind of ending and I really wanted to do TV shows. And so I kind of was transitioning into that.
And you did mention you had a TV show, right?
Yeah, so this cable TV show led to this show called Ryan Long is Challenged, which was kind of like an Ali G type of thing. Yeah.
Which goes right back to your fucking high school class.
Bring it back.
Yeah.
I was always what I called smart stupid, where it's like I was good at math, but you're stupid. Like you're loopy. Don't know places, you know?
Mm-hmm. Directions.
Don't know places. I'm like the, you know, very much. You leave your house because and then you realize you forgot your keys, go up, go back down, forgot them again, go back up and down. You're like, a third time, huh? Like that's, like pieces are missing sort of, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is one thing I feel like I've, whatever people that have that, the only solution is doing one thing at a time. That's the only way to kind of make yourself not loopy. That's my favorite days. You know, when we were talking about days, like, you know, sometimes you just want to cut the grass.
Mm-hmm.
The most days I look forward to is when I go, I'm doing one thing today. If it's editing, if it's writing, if it's whatever it is.
All I'm doing.
I'm doing one thing properly. And that's when I think I'm best too. But I actually sold this show by doing some wild stuff. I was reading a lot of like books, like, you know, like the original kind of Take Over the World books, like 48 Laws of Power. And, you know, that kind of what eventually became the Tim Ferriss world, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yep.
I felt like I was in the early days of that, where it's like a different way of looking at life, where you're like, dude, no, you can make it happen. So I would find out the heads of all these TV stations and I'd make all these demos and then I would find out where they're going to be, find someone that was there, get into the parties, try to like, you know, make friends with the people. And I managed to do it to the point where I got to the head of the party, act like I bumped into them all and was able to get them on interest in this show. I used every dollar I had and then went into debt about 20 grand making this show. So I made 6 episodes of this show at first and then sold it to these guys. And was able to kind of make all my money back and, you know, and more, and sold this show when I'm like 26, and we made this wild show. And this was kind of like, in my mind, I was like, all right, this is what we're doing. Like, we kind of got it figured out now.
Is this also your introduction into comedy as well, shifting out of the music?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is around this time was when I was like, all right, I think I got to just do stand up.
Okay.
Which is maybe 11, 12 years ago.
Using the internet without ExpressVPN, it's like leaving your laptop exposed at the coffee shop table while you run to the bathroom. Most of the time, you're probably fine, but what if one day you come out of the bathroom and your laptop is gone? Every time you connect to an unencrypted network, cafes, hotels, airports, any hacker on the same network can gain access to your personal data, your passwords, your financial details, all that stuff. Your data is valuable. Hackers can make up to $1,000 a person selling personal info on the dark web. It's easy to use. You fire up the app and you click one button to get protected. It works on all your devices, your phones, your laptops, your tablets, and more, so you can stay secure on the go. Look, I love ExpressVPN. I'm always on the go. I got it on my tablet when I'm flying and traveling. I got it on my phone here. We've got it here at the studio. We're not going unprotected. Secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/honeydew. That's expressvpn.com/honeydew. And you can get an extra 3 months free. expressvpn.com/honeydew. Green Chef is a CCOF certified meal kit company. Green Chef makes eating well easy with plans to fit every lifestyle. So whether you're keto, paleo, vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free, or just looking to eat more balanced meals, Green Chef offers a range of recipes to suit your preferences. Green Chef is the most sustainable meal kit, offsetting 100% of their plastic packaging in every box and 100% of their carbon footprint and emissions. Green Chef offers 35 nutritious and flavorful options to choose from every week, featuring premium clean ingredients that are seasonally sourced for peak freshness. And it saves you time by taking care of meal planning, grocery shopping, and most of the prep for you week after week, so you don't have to. They sent me a box of food, man. You know I'm jumping right into it. I made pork burgers. I'm telling you, it was so good. The barbecue sauce, the red onions, it was all there. Everything you like. The cilantro, it's all there. It's fresh. It's great. It's delicious. Go to greenchef.com/honeydew10 and use code HONEYDEW10 to get 10 free meals, including free shipping. Listen to me, 10 free meals and free shipping. That's greenchef.com/HONEYDEW10 and use the code HONEYDEW10 to get 10 free meals, including free shipping. You gotta do it. Green Chef, the number one meal kit for eating well. Now, let's get back to the do.
We were doing wild pranks, but this the one that we did, the first episode aired, they put all the press out like it was, you know, episode one, within 24 hours, two of the people that we pranked had called the network with their lawyers being like...
Already lawyered up.
And this ain't like a huge net. This is the equivalent of like Fuse or something here, maybe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a comedy network, but not like... So, and they're all freaking out. We're getting all these phone calls. And it was dark. And I'll tell you what the prank was, which there's kind of... So basically, it was... Every episode I had to do something wild, and it was kind of like sell a fashion product, right? So I made these pants that have a dick built in to make your dick look bigger.
I feel like I've seen this. Have I seen this?
Maybe. A lot of these clips went viral, yeah. But they're called Python pants was the idea.
And it just looked like you have a hog down
your
leg. You
have a piece of meat.
But for real, I wonder why no one's ever sold them.
I think there's probably been some version of this after. The original.
That's ridiculous. How long? Like down on your knees? Like, is it ridiculous?
There was some big ones. There was some big ones.
Oh, yeah, different sizes. Yeah, you can
depends,
model. Yeah.
Depends on how bad you want to flex, you know? Python pants. And then there was a whole episode based on this.
Did you ever get somebody like,
well, part of the bit was we would sell them at a store and then we'd make people come in and then we'd kind of bully them into buying them. And that was part of the bit. And we got a few guys to buy them, right? But the main thing was there's this guy who ran this big company and it was like a big fashion line. And I went in with my crew and I was pretty good at like weaseling into places. So I went to the front desk and I was like, hey, we're here to see the guy who runs the place. And I go, he's a friend of my family and he knows I'm coming or whatever. And they're like, what? I don't think we have an interview. I go, no, he knows. We were supposed to do a filming thing with him, blah, blah. And then she starts walking and then me and the crew just follow her because now we follow her into his office. And then he's very confused. And then we're just like, hey, you know, we have the new line for next year. And he's kind of like, who are you? And then we like pull out this like briefcase and it was like Python pants. And it was like, you know, you guys can't afford not to sell, whatever. I'm doing the whole sales pitch. He flips out, the security comes.
He was pissed.
And so this happens and I'm like pretty, when all this stuff's going down, it was probably like because in my mind I was like, the band was, you know,
I'm
over.
Making Python night pants, goddamn.
Yeah.
get your dick in some night pants.
Just a piece.
Oh,
in my mind,
you broke into this guy's office and try to sell him dick pants.
Yeah, we're like, listen, if you're packing, you're packing. We're trying to.
I mean, you can't do anything about it.
And his secretary's there. Yeah. He goes, he says you have an appointment with me. I go, the
you know
Python
his family. He's saying,
yeah, I'm saying all this shit. Oh, but the God. Funny part,
so you're not wearing them in though. You doing your presentation.
I wasn't wearing them here. I've worn them in other parts though. Yeah, yeah. Just a piece. So he's, when they call me, I was, you know, because this is like, the band was kind of over in my mind, and I'm like, yeah, I've got my shot to do my TV show, which now it's like, now I realize this TV show was nothing. There was no chance for any of these shows. TV was over. Like, it was so in the past. Like, I was, if anything, I was clinging on to the idea that I could be a, you know, that TV thing was over. Like, they'll never have another TV show like that again, especially in Canada that matters. But... so I just went my buddy's cabin and I asked if I could just stay there. I went there by myself and I was, you know, like feeling sorry for myself, like skipping rocks and stuff. I told my dad and then he goes, yeah, I went to high school with that guy. The guy that I broke into the office.
Nuh-uh.
Swear to God. So the guy I told.
The guy that wouldn't buy your dick pants?
That I said knew my family.
That way. Yeah, you didn't know him then, huh?
Yeah, my dad goes, I went to high school with that guy. And I go, do you think you could get his number for me? Because I'm like, what if I could talk him into this? So I eventually, my dad goes, I'll try. He gives me his number. He goes, my uncle was buddies with him. He gets the number. So I call him and I'm like, hey, can I speak to him? I tell him it's the guy that came in with the pants. And then I was like, hey, you know, I came in with the pants and I was just hoping. He goes, "You fucking piece of shit. You think that you could call me after that? Like, we are going to fucking take this episode down. I want to." I just go click.
Listen, real quick. How do you feel about Python shorts?
Yeah.
You didn't even get out. You know my dad, or my dad knows you. Nothing.
In my mind, I was like, "I'll smooth this over. I'm a fast talking salesman. I'm selling Python pants. I can sell this guy." In my mind, I'm gonna be like, we'll recut the parts. You actually, I'm gonna sell him on the like, "You actually look funny. It's good publicity. I'm gonna be this guy, right?" He's peaking. If you could see him in person, his hair was flying off his head, steam was coming out of the ears, you know? He's like, "You come down here right now, say this to my..." He's flipping. So I just go click. I go, "All right, well, that's not happening." Eventually, they re-release the episodes with, you know, all the stuff cut out 4 months later after the hype's over and whatever, kind of dwindled.
All right, so make it out then, okay.
It did make it out, but I mean, to be fair, no one would have cared at the time, but you look back. I think 25 to me, you know, you were saying 16s. Things might have been before we started, but 16 is like a tough age. For me, I felt like for a lot of guys, I think that 25 is like the toughest age, especially if you're doing anything alternative. Because
tell me why.
Well, 25, for men, everyone is, a lot of people are getting their lives together. They've been out of school for 4 years. People have a good job. But anyone that's doing something alternative takes a long time, right? So I think 25 to 30 for men can feel for everyone, but I think girls have it at a different time. But for dudes, it's like, that's the first where it's like, everyone's rushing to check off all the things. People are like, "Oh, you know, what, I have a kid, maybe I could." And then it's, you look at a guy that's like 29, you're like, "Dude, this guy lives in a house and he, you know, he's got his shit together. He's got to make it 100K a year." And you're like some bum because you try to do something. But then at 30, I don't even think anyone cares anymore whether it worked out or didn't. 30 is the first year where it's like, I feel like your buddies get together. No one's like, "Hey, how's your job?" No one cares anymore. It's just like, I mean, even being a comedian, doing this kind of stuff, no one starts being like, you don't go to family things and they go, "How's your job?" They just go, "How are you?"
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I feel 30, it's just whatever you're doing, you're doing. No one really, you kind of realize no one cares about you anymore. And they don't, which is liberating. Like, people stop being invested in you, whether that be your friends, whether that be your family, like, which can seem bad to some people, but to me, it's like liberating. It's like no one's watching anymore. So you're just, whatever you're doing, you're just doing it. And I think that to me, it's kind of like, you know, the idea of you can look up and think about how small you are. And it's like, that could be liberating or scary. I think it's liberating, you know? So I think that the idea that no one's paying attention to you anymore, to me, gives you the freedom to actually kind of take chances and be who, you know, do what you want to do. So yeah. I think that's why the 30s is like a tough age. Whereas 16, most people when they're young, especially like a certain type of guy, it's like not that much has gone wrong yet.
Bro, you don't know who you're sitting across from.
But even still, none of that's going to affect you forever. Like 16, a lot can go wrong, but it's like it can affect you mentally, but you can recover from it.
You could.
Career-wise, like what's going to happen?
I'll give you this though.
Yeah, give me an example of what you mean.
I'll give you an example of, you're right about numbers. I didn't know, I mean, except for my own brothers, I didn't know anybody that went through what we went through. So my dad died. My mom had left our family, and my dad died at 16, and we were on our own from 16.
Yeah.
That's it. So that changed everything for us.
You can have terrible things that can affect you mentally, but I only mean, so I'm talking about a different context. I'm talking about in the context of like, are my peers doing better than me?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They all were. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, I'm like,
you drive a company car? Wait, you don't pay for insurance? Wait, hang on. They give you gas too? And I'm like, what the fuck am I?
Yeah,
how much is that a year?
I'm an idiot. Yeah, you're like, what am I doing?
I could have done. You have a 401k and they put money in it?
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost.
On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with Smart Card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
You're Wait, like you're like a real human.
You're paid when you're on vacation? Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you and then but if you're you ever met a 20-year-old that's like, it's too late, and you're like, it's like you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But like, there is some degree.
You keep reinventing yourself.
Yeah, there's
that's
some
the
degree
thing.
When someone's like it's 30 and they're like, it's too late, you're like, yeah, probably. Like, so just do what you're doing now. Like
or yeah, stick with it.
Not too late, but like, yeah, whatever you're doing now, it's like there is a bit of like, you know, you're in the pocket now. So I think that's, the pressure is relieved. I think there's so much pressure when you're just looking around, comparing yourself to everyone constantly. Not that that ever ends, but I think it's tougher in your mid-20s. I think that's the like toughest era for comparing yourself to people.
I mean, look, I think you can reinvent yourself at any point, you have to, but I think I agree with what you're saying about people in their 30s. I think if they haven't gone for it, or they're not really in the middle of it, or they just aren't dying for it, that I think a lot of people do settle.
If you're the
and
type
they're gonna take that job that they've had for 10 years and stay.
And maybe
they're
that's a good life.
It is. It could very well be. But if you're regretting it and always wondering it, like I just know me. I don't want to be a person that, you know, some of my last thoughts are what if.
No, I know.
Yeah, fuck that.
But probably the type of person that is like that is the type of person that took some shots in their 20s. So the fact that you're wired that way, you know, you'll kind of have done the thing where it's like, you know, I tried a bunch of stuff in the 20s and built skills. And then in your 30s and 40s, you know, you can kind of, all right, I'm a formed human. I have some skills that I built. Let's try to use them now. See what we can do with this. Whereas I think the type of person, there's a lot of people that think they want that, you know, they'll be like, and that's probably at 30, they realize they don't. Like how many people are kind of like, you know, I want to be an artist. I want to do this. I want to start a company. And then you're like, I know you. You don't. You don't want to do those things. You don't want to run a company. You would hate running a company. I know you. And then I think at some point they're like, yeah, I just think I like thinking that I'd want to run a company. You know what I mean?
So what?
People get in touch with who they kind of are.
At what did you first think you wanted to be? Did you always know you wanted to stay in music first?
I think that to me, that was just like the cool move at the time.
Did you ever think you wanted to be anything other than a musician or a comedian?
I never thought I wanted to be a comedian. I did think I wanted to make a TV show. I didn't even know what I didn't know stand-up existed.
In front of the camera, though.
Yeah, like I know a lot of friends that kind of grew up that are in comedy that like loved comedy. I didn't watch comedy. Like I liked Jackass. Mm-hmm. I thought that Adam Sandler and David Spade were funny, but I didn't watch, you know, the only stand-up I'd ever watched was Jerry Seinfeld telling you for the last time probably. And I was like, all right. But no, to me it was like, I think that what I realize now, if I look back at what I wanted, it's that I wanted to do, I wanted to run my own thing, but do it differently. Like, or do something different. Like, I think I wanted to live like kind of a cowboy life. So at the end of the day, like a lot of these lives, you end up working 80 hours a week and you're working just as hard, but there's like some type of like a pirate component to it that I think
that.
Whenever I feel like the
outlaw shit.
Whenever I feel that drifting away is when I really start to feel like something's off. You know, I don't like what I'm doing here. Even so, I might be doing the exact same thing, but it's attached to something, which I think is why the new industry is so good. Like even the fact that I kind of moved here and I do really well, but I don't think that the industry like has a place for me. And it's like they're doing you a favor in a lot of ways, you know, because.
Man, listen. Yes, you're right. I believe in that. The industry can tell you no all they want to, but there's nobody more than comedians who have proven this industry wrong and have gone right over that wall, through that fucking wall, under that wall, around that wall. If you're not saying like, there's so many good, talented, funny musicians, comedians, artists, and there's this, you know, industry, this wall that says, we're not saying you're not, but you can go. You failed 7 times, but you can keep on going.
Yeah.
You're going again. You fuck
they
kids,
don't know how to
you
pick
can still
them.
Go. You rape people, you can still go. But right. You, nah, something we don't like about you. I don't know what it is. And then you got to figure out your own fucking way.
But
over
it's
there.
Hard. It's better
it's
now.
Happened.
Because
of comedians. In our world, yeah. It's because of comedians. Comedians
it is
have
of
taken
comedians.
These fucking podcasts right here. Fucking athletes, actors, nobody took podcast and took it to this level like comedians have. Now everybody's got a fucking podcast.
Yeah.
But it was comics.
Everyone's running a
that
business.
That started that shit. The Rogans and Mark Maron and Hardwick and God, Earwolf guys going way back and Segura and Burr. All these guys were doing this shit way early on. And now look where they are. And now everybody's doing it and everybody's got one. But those people, the comedians, are the people that have had to change more than if you're an actor, you still got to do the same shit. Take your classes, learn someone else's fucking lines.
Yuck.
That's it, right? But for comedians, when I first started, it was just jokes. And then it was WordPress. And then it was all these social media platforms. And then it was get your shit on video. And then it was this and podcast. And it's like, holy shit, we have had to evolve. More, I feel like, in art than any other probably art form there is out there. I really feel like comedians have had to just change more than any art form.
Yeah, because the thing shifted so quick.
So drastically.
It kind of feels like... like there's some girl that you like want so bad or something like that for a lot of people. And then you kind of, you go get rich and, you know, successful and your life kind of rules. And she's like, you know what? I decide I do want you. And you're like oh, what?
I got 40.
Like even, yeah, dude, like you go to a meeting now and it's like, not to like talk about money like that, but it's like, let's even say not me, but like a lot of other people that are way bigger than me. It's like, you know, a lot of my friends and me to some extent, you go to these like meetings now and they're like, hey, like, you know, if you could pitch us this thing, maybe you can get a show. And you're like, I don't know if you know this, but we're all rich now. Like, it's like, dude, I don't know. Like, it's like, you guys not get, like, you missed it. And I think that's why if they want people, they just have to, you know, drop like insane deals for people now. Cause you're just like, dude, like my life is good. Like I do what I want to do. We're making stuff. I mean, there's still its problems. Like you can always get deleted and there's still issues with
deleted.
You can.
I like that saying.
They can delete
canceled.
You.
Yeah. You just got deleted, bro. I like that better than canceled, man. He got deleted. A deleted culture over
he
there.
He scrubbed. Well, if they take your, they disappear your YouTube channel, you got deleted.
Yeah, it's deleted. That's true.
But, you know, at the same time, it is. So there is that thing where you got... it's like you got bullied into doing what you want to do anyway. It's like tough love almost. But then they want to come back and they're like, hey, let's do stuff. And you're like, what?
Well, also just artistically, like just because you have a good idea doesn't mean you're going to have another one. You
right.
know what I mean?
Especially like, one that was right for that moment, for
right.
that energy.
Like you, for example, you're talking about the type of music you had and the moment passed and it was over.
No energy there.
Right. So, but if you're... you had that one good idea. Well, if that music doesn't last forever, there's no guarantee you're going to come up with another band in another genre that's going to fucking kill. You know, you can come up with a TV show, a great TV show. There's no guarantee you're going to do another one or come up with a good one. There's no guarantee you're going to have another good album, another good
or but for entrepreneurs,
show.
Like, you know, this you
idea.
Built a company that you were on the pulse. Like, I think you can look at that for any business, you know? It's like, I think... if you're able...
well, I'm sorry. I wanted to say this because what I'm getting at is they should pay someone. You should want someone to pay you handsomely for something that is your fucking passion.
You
and if I'm going to give it up and I may never have another one again, then for me, that financial reward has got to be worth the fact that I could... you could just
you're
take...
right.
you could... you basically, you're taking it from me and I could never have it again today. If that's where I would look at it.
Yeah.
And
no,
you've got to compensate me for the rest of my fucking life, because I know once I give this up, I know that you people are going to ruin the fucking thing, because that's
it.
What you do.
And this is the one time that I was... My like age was right for this moment. My perspective was right.
Everything lined up.
And if you're gonna take it, like, and
then
probably ruin it
out of me.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
Because there's no guarantee the stars are lining up again.
No,
and what am I gonna do
then? If it happens a few times in your life where you're just like, man, I'm in the zone on all fucking levels. If that happens a few times in your life, that's probably a pretty decent ratio.
I mean, if you get one in this business, it's fucking, it's hot.
Yeah. I do that with everything right now. This is like a Scott Adams thing, the Dilbert guy. But he's like, he once said when you're writing, and I think it's for thinking and for people, but when you're like, use your brain to write, but use your stomach and body to find out when you're excited. So it's like, you know that?
Yeah.
Like whether it's a person, whether it's an idea, whether it's like a chick, even whatever, it's like, use your head for all this. You know, you might go, you know what? I don't think I want to be with this chick, or I don't think that's the right move. And that might be fine, but that can all tell you what's bad. But if you like it, you can only listen to like, oh, something. You're like, oh no, something's getting me going here.
Some primal's happening here.
Something, yeah.
Yeah.
And the more you can like get in touch with that, the more you can kind of, you know, like a metal detector, you can be that for what needs to be said or what needs to be made or what, like, you know, what person you need to like add to your mix. You're like, fuck, this guy would be a good person in the squad right now. It can be even as simple as that. So yeah, trying to get in touch with that, like primal, that's a good way to put it. Just that, like, what buzzes you up. So yeah, yeah. I try to.
Dude, this has been a really fun episode, man. I've enjoyed sitting here and listening to you. You made me laugh fucking hard.
Thanks, buddy.
Dude.
Yeah, no, it's been cool to hang.
Hard, dude.
I like what you guys have got going here too. And I was hanging with Josh too. And like, now you guys have built like a cool little movement here too. It's very cool to see what like all these different pockets of people have like built, and just even watch like how your operation runs, like you know how your team works and all that stuff. Like, I think it's cool.
Thank you, man. We do have Kirsten's fucking kick ass. We got Annie working. But again, and it's because what we talked about earlier, Tom and Christina reaching down and pulling us up, you know, and giving us a chance. And then also, like, I don't want to let them down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't get an opportunity from one of the best or two of the best in the world at what they do.
They're crushing it.
And then have them give you a chance and you just fucking come in and half-ass it. You know what I mean? Like, that's not what you do with that opportunity. So it's part of it is I want to be successful, but not just for me. I want, you know, I want to make them proud.
Yeah.
You know, I know that might sound stupid.
No, it doesn't. You need
both. I'm older than Tom, but I want, like, I don't want you to be like, man, you gave me this opportunity. And I say all the time, I hung a shower curtain up behind me and just started talking, you know, like, no. We're not,
no, you need both.
The way it's going to be. Yet.
You need, yeah, but you're right. You're like, no, if we're going to do this,
we're going to do it right.
We're gonna
go all in. Yeah.
But yeah, you kind of, you do need like yourself to be jazzed up, but you do also need some components of like, I mean, that's why stand-up's cool, because you do get that thing from it where it's like, all right, there's a bunch of people telling me I'm great. Like,
yeah. And it's immediate. That's the other thing. The response, that's the heroin.
And then you don't become a mess in your real life, whereas, you know, you need that trouble to get yourself jazzed up in real life. Right. You can actually have your life in order, and your chaos can come kind of like,
you can create it right on stage.
Your chaos can be controlled,
orchestrated,
and you still get the buzz. You're like, it's like giving yourself, what's the, when they give you instead of heroin?
Methadone.
Like laughter and, you know, like causing trouble, like in your jaw. That's like the methadone as opposed to causing magical trouble.
Dude, thank you again. Please plug, promote everything you'd like.
Yeah, I do a podcast every Friday and a bonus episode on Patreon. YouTube.com/RyanLongComedy. YouTube.com/TheBoysCastWithRyanLong. Those are my two channels. All my socials, Instagram, Twitter, everything at RyanLongComedy. And so this is going to come out in December. I got a special coming out in January on my YouTube channel.
Perfect. All right, man. Thank you very much.
Thanks, buddy.
As always, RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. We'll talk to y'all next week.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step 3, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up.
In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap. Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Plus, terms and conditions apply.
QTS is building more than a data center in Dane County. We're partnering with Alliant Energy to enable 750 megawatts of new renewable energy sources, supporting sustainable generation while lowering costs. We use a closed-loop, water-free cooling system that conserves billions of gallons of water each year, and we're investing millions locally, from scholarships and workforce development to nonprofits and first responders. QTS, powered by people, driven by purpose. Paid for by QTS.